Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Talking about missed opportunities, let's just talk about last year. Load shedding apparently was one of the worst that we have experienced. What can we experience, or what can we expect this year? Roger Lilly, Energy Analyst, good morning. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard, and thank you for inviting me to your show. Good morning to your listeners. I'm doing well, thank you. And how are you guys all doing?
All very, very well, thank you. So let's firstly talk about last year. How bad was 2021 in terms of load shedding?
Yes, load shedding last year amounted to 51 days, or there were 51 days last year of load shedding. Now, that doesn't mean the whole country was shed at the same time or anything, but during the year, 51 of the 365 days, somebody somewhere in the country experienced load shedding. That's the highest it's ever been. The previous year was 47 days, which was bad enough. And this load shedding has a massive detrimental effect on manufacturing sector in particular, particularly the heavy industry, you know, the users of large amounts of power. Those people cannot economically generate their own power from any other source. Eskom is indeed their cheapest supply of electricity. And so when that's not available, it becomes a real problem for them.
So, in fact, it really was – and last year, 2021, was one of the years where the economy was fairly slow because of so much lockdown, because of the COVID. It, in fact, could have been a lot worse had we been trying to manufacture more and achieve more. Which really doesn't paint a great picture. So, and moving forward, have we fixed – have we resolved anything between last year and this year?
We haven't. We haven't, unfortunately. There's been some really good initiatives, but a lot of those initiatives are likely to come to naught, unfortunately. And let's just start by saying that out of the 45,000 megawatts that Eskom is capable of generating on paper, less than 63%, let's call it 63% to be kind, is actually available to the public. Now, fortunately, demand has been greatly reduced, and so Eskom has been managing to keep the lights on, sort of hobbling along. But, you know, this is completely unsustainable. And in fact, I think a quote by Philip Ducasse, the head of the Eskom's generation division, I think says it all. He said that the generating plant is unforgiving, and that it will take itself out of the system if we don't, through failure.
Unbelievable.
So you know, we really are in that particular, we really do have a big problem in this regard. Now, let's consider then what is likely to happen for 2022. Firstly, let me say that André de Reyse promised in 2019, when he took over the CEO position, to focus on maintenance, particularly what he called reliability maintenance. That means that maintenance which would ensure the reliability of the equipment going forward. And I think he was probably sincere, but he was sincerely mistaken in believing that that was possible given the age and unreliability of the equipment that he's working with.
Right.
So why did we have all that load shedding? Well, primarily because of continuous breakdowns, and the worst of those breakdowns was firstly the explosion and destruction of Unit 4 at Medupi,
right,
and then a massive transformer fire at Unit 1 of Kendal. So together those two lost the utility about 1,500 megawatts, which is a massive amount of electricity to lose in a single action like that.
Right.
So what the response has been to use diesel-fired peaking plant, as it's known, these open cycle gas turbines, which have been converted to run on diesel because we don't have enough gas available to it, at a cost of 4.5 billion rand. So Eskom, on the one hand, is crying that it doesn't get sufficient revenue in order to be able to afford to do the maintenance that is necessary. But on the other hand, it's spending well over the budgeted amount on diesel just to keep lights on. So it's really walking a tightrope and not an easy situation. In fact, it's predicting in this financial year, which will end in April 2023, of spending 16 billion rand on diesel. Can you believe it?
Unbelievable.
You know, this is something like 8 times the budget.
Wow.
So it really is very serious. But what's going to happen in the future? Well, firstly, let's look at those initiatives. The Minister of Energy, Gwede Mantashe, called for this emergency power generation to come on stream, some 2,000 megawatts. And of that, 1,200 megawatts was allocated to a foreign company called PowerShip. Right. And this particular company has failed to meet the necessary requirements in terms of environmental and port licensing or permissions, resulting in the fact that it simply cannot meet the deadline of the middle of this year. And at the same time, a local company which could do the same job has taken the minister to court because it lost the bid and is sort of arguing that it could do the same job as this foreign company could at the same price, and therefore why is a foreign company given an opportunity the local company should have been given? And so that means that 1,200 megawatts just won't appear by the middle of this year, simply because it's all going to be tied up in the courts and so on and so forth. And even if the local company wins, it's going to take them the best part of a year or more to actually start generating. So we won't get it this year. At the same time, we might get another 1,000 megawatts or 1,100 megawatts, if we're really fortunate, from the independent renewable energy guys. Now, the renewable energy guys have demonstrated their ability to provide power on time and on budget. So we're most likely to get that. But it won't really happen it won't help us, because 900 megawatts is going to be lost for 10 months of this year as Eskom takes first Coburg Unit 1 and then Coburg Unit 2 out of the system for life extension work. So, you know, the one simply cancels out the other for all intents and purposes. So if we're really, really fortunate, the difference between the two is 300 megawatts, plus we might get 800 megawatts out of the emergency power. So we might get another 1,100 megawatts on stream. However, Eskom says they need between 4,000 and 6,000 megawatts if they're going to be able to take down the equipment that needs to be taken down and maintain it properly. Now, the interesting thing is that there is yet another solution being offered by the private sector. Experts have suggested to Eskom, I don't know if Eskom are going to take this seriously, but it has been suggested to Eskom that 5 of its oldest, most unreliable power stations, which have been identified by name, should be shut down today, right now. No more money should be spent on it, not on fuel, not on labor, nothing. Just switch it off and forget it, walk away from it. And that money that would have been spent on them then poured into the other existing power plants.
To make them more efficient.
Yes. So, yes, that would result in a short-term dip in available power and would give us perhaps a short-term, deeper level of load shedding. But there would be a brighter light at the end of the tunnel. We would come out of that with more reliable plants by putting that money into the better performing and perhaps younger equipment. And so it'll be interesting to see whether Eskom take that offer seriously. That was made late last year by people who we can respect in the industry. These are not just dreamers.
These are
people who know what they're talking about. So let's see how that progresses going forward. The other thing that we do have an advantage of is that the minister last year, or sorry, the year before now, it was August last year, announced that the threshold for private generation can be increased from one megawatt to 100 megawatts without the need for a license.
Right.
But that means that a lot of the large companies, the large power users, might move away from Eskom, at least partially.
That was going to be my question. If companies are starting to do that, it's not a massive thing, but collectively, that could take a lot of pressure off the system.
Absolutely. Mm. One must understand, though, that large power users pay a a really advantageous price to Eskom. They don't pay the same tariff as you and I pay. Uh-huh. And therefore, the differential between what they pay Eskom and what they would pay for their own generation is massive. That means that their input costs are increased significantly. Their profits will be reduced. They will pay less tax, which is also not good for the country. Their shareholders will get lower returns, which also might end up in some other problems. So it's a balancing act. So we really have to see what's going on. But I have another question that I'd like to pose to Eskom, and I'll do it through this channel if I may.
Yes, sure.
And that is that one of the complaints or concerns that the utility is making is that a number of people too many qualified, skilled people are leaving Eskom naturally through retirement or emigration in some cases.
Right.
And so on. And my question is that in 2016, we were told that 1,370 people had been employed as learner artisans. And they were employed precisely for this reason to what Eskom called fill the pipeline. In other words, Eskom looked forward and said, these people are going to retire.
Right.
We need to employ people who will come alongside and learn their skills and take over from them.
Right.
So my question is, what happened to those 1,370 people? And if they are still there, then why is it that the 37 people that Eskom claim to be losing every month, why is that then such a problem? Because
absolutely,
if you do the arithmetic, there's plenty in the pipeline.
Roger, I'm being told we are very over time, but I really wanted to hear that from you, and I think it was a very important question. Thank you. As always, let's pose that to Eskom, and let's see what they have to say.